Remember, I talked a few weeks back of God's app, the Bible, His Word, the Bible. We have to come to first that agreement that it is divinely inspired by that of God, not just men writing on tablets, but God was putting these things into their hearts, into their spirit, to write out. And I referenced a Psalm 119. This is also a commercial, an infomercial for, I think it's this Thursday at 10 o'clock. We're gonna launch out in a Bible study or a Bible time, Bible talk. I don't want to teach it. I want to come together with whoever comes. We're going to start going through Psalms 119 and look at each of those eight stanzas or each of those eight verses in those chapters and find out what this is all about. But here again, in preparing for this and doing some reading on it and looking at it in different places, we do not know who wrote that particular psalm. So I'm not even going to get into it. Whoever the author was, he was a good example for us to follow. So we're not going to split hairs to go, well, some said Ezra, some says this, some says that. I don't know if it's this, I don't know if it's that. It doesn't matter. Look at the content of what was written in God's Word and to know that it's to help you today. For he had an intense hunger, and this is the thing that this guy had. He had an intense hunger for the holiness and a passionate desire to understand God's Word in a much deeper way. Folks, today in our lives, we need to have a passion for God's Word. We need to have a deep desire to go deep into God's Word. And my one friend here, John's here. We want to go mining into God's Word, dig into the riches of God's Word. But it's there for all of us to dig into and to get into and to pull it out for your situation that day, that week, that month, really for your entire life. And that's just in Psalms 119, but it's out throughout all of God's Word. There's so many things in there to give us warnings, what to stay away from. We could come in, maybe the next thing we'll look up after that is, let's just go through the Bible and some books and where it says but or if. You know, if I will do this, but you've got to do this. God will do this if you do that. See, we've got to understand, folks, that God's Word is true. God's Word is powerful. God's Word will do what it says it will do. God's Word will perform. The way that it doesn't perform is when we are in that equation, because we are in God's equation when He says, I will do this if you do this. I will have this for you, but you've got to be this. So whatever that is that God says He's going to do, I already know that my God is a faithful and I can trust Him, God, that He will not go back on His Word. But we have got to dig into His Word. We got to mine out the gems. We got to live our life by what the Scriptures are telling us and how to do it. Now, we're going to find here that the basic theme of Psalm 119 is the practical use of the Word of God. And I think a lot of things in God's Word is really practical, don't you? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to try to put all these things together to figure out how to ignite God's Word. We know in the natural and, you know, rockets and things and machinery, things have to happen in sequence for something to ignite, you know, at the end of that result. Remember those old rocket launches on Cape Canaveral or the Kennedy Space Center and things of that nature, you know, T-minus 2 hours and 12 minutes, or whatever the case is, T-minus 10, 9, 8. All systems are being checked as they're getting ready for that blast off when they hit that button, that everything's going to synchronize just right to ignite the propellant in the jet and the fuel and all this stuff for that rocket to go up. All of these things in God's Word, there's a thing there that's going to ignite that in your life. And a lot of it is this. You need to obey it. You just flat out need to obey God's Word. That's the ignition button. That's the button that starts the whole thing going. He's put all of the propellant, he's put all of the trajectory of how you're going to get where you're going to go in my life that I have planned for you, Tim. Just like all the stuff that's been put into that computer for that spacecraft, it's all there. But it does no good if it sits on that launch pad and they can't push the launch button to ignite the fuel rocket to get it up to where it's planned to be. If we don't ignite or activate upon God's word in our lives, you're going to remain on your launching pad for the rest of your life. And you're not going to go anywhere, but you're ready. Oh, bless God, I'm ready. I'm a child of God. I'm all prepared. I've got these scriptures, and I've got this, and I'm prepared. But you've got to ignite them into your life. You've got to allow them to become alive in your everyday walk, in your everyday talk. It's a hard thing to live in this life when God's word says, turn the other cheek. Or bless those that persecute you. But we have got to be able to do that. And we have to turn it over to that of God. So basically in Psalms 119, we're looking at this word of God. It's for the life of us, the believer. We find in this psalm, the ministry of the word of God is addressing the inner spiritual life of the children of God. Well, all of his word pretty well does that. But in this one particular chapter, the longest one in the Bible, it describes how the word enables us to grow in holiness and how to handle the persecutions and the pressures. Oh, anybody pressured? Pressures that always accompany an obedient walk of faith. Isn't that something? When you're obeying God, and we would think that if I'm obeying the Master, the Creator of everything, my life should be nothing but easy. Easy. But it's not that. It's when you're obeying him. Things are going to happen. Struggles are going to come up. Illnesses are going to hit your body. Fractures in friendships and relationships and familyships and all of these things, they're going to happen. It's called life living in the fallen world. But with God's word, it's going to help us as we go through these pressures. That's always going to accompany an obedient walk. That's sometimes the fastest thing we want to throw out on the card table, or if we're playing cards with God, is, Lord, I'm playing and I'm following you and I'm being obedient and you called me to do this. I didn't want to do it, but I followed you. I'm doing what you want and this is happening and I don't understand it. And you throw that card down like, what is going on? I should have an easy life, or at least a lot easier than what I've got right now. And it sure seems like my friends that are non-Christian, they've got a much easier life than I do. I don't understand this, God. What we need to understand is try to understand that of God and what his word is telling us. And to realize that as we have an obedient walk of faith, you're going to have pressure, you're going to have persecution. And the only way you're going to be able to handle that is with that of God in you. To really handle that of being that of a child of God. To be something different than what the world has. Oh, yeah! Yeah, the world is made up of hostilities. The world is made up of anger. The world is made up to where you do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. Somebody's done somebody's wrong song. I don't know why all these Western tunes are coming to my head now. But I'm going to tell you, the songs of this world tie into so much of God's word. If you begin to think of it in God's word of how God tells you, these things are going to happen. But be thee prepared for them. But also know this, Tim, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if I'm on the journey with God, I'm not by myself. If you're on the journey with God, do you think you're on by yourself? Do you think God just said, here, go down this path, Tim. You'll deal with it. Don't worry about it. When things happen, I may show up. But you stay on my path that I have for you. No. When I'm on the path that God has for me, and I'm doing the ifs and I'm doing the buts, he's going to be there to be my protector. Amen? He's going to help me get through that adversity. Now, initially, I might look at that adversity and think, hey, God, it doesn't seem like I came out winning. Seems like I would have done it a whole lot better than what happened. But then you got to realize that you're not God. And God knows the beginning to the end. You're just looking at that one little snippet of time in your life that you have some understanding of what's going on. Right now, 5 minutes from now, none of you know what's happening in your life. Now, in generalities, it's a day, it's Sunday, 5 minutes from now. You know, I doubt if the pastor's going to let me out to go home because it's going to be 11:35. I will probably still be sitting here listening to the Word of God. We kind of know that, but I'm just saying this, that we truly don't know what lies ahead in our next steps, the next day or whatever that God has for us. The only way you're going to be able to handle those is to be prayed up, to be close to God, to be walking with the Spirit in you, to have your spirit enlightened and activated and in tuned with the things going on, so that when something happens in the world around you, that the Spirit of God in you will speak to you to guide you out of harm's way, to show you a way to get through that harm's way, or what to use to remove that harm's way in your life. Now this Psalm 119 is acrostic. This psalm is an acrostic with 8 lines in each section and the successive sections following the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So it kind of goes along all this, and we'll probably dig into a little bit of that. But it's just to realize there's a system to this, and the way whoever wrote it put these things together, 8 lines in these sections of their alphabet. The unknown author used 8 different words for scriptures. Now, sometimes when we hear these things like commandments, we go, oh, I'm not under the law. Commandments, no. We're under Jesus. But you will find the scriptures of law in this 119, meaning that of the Torah. You might find words of scripture called in testimony. So this thing could be law, testimony, precept, statute, the commandment, the judgment, the word, and the promise of God. So in 119, as you go through and as we go through this, and I've got it here right now, but it shows you that all 8 of these words are found in, you know, several verses, like verses 33 to 40, 73 to 80, 81 to 88. There's some verbiage of God's word being that of whether it's going to say the law, your testimony, your word, your commandment, your judgment, your statute. And we find out that what this psalm is doing is talking a lot about the law of God, or the word of God, or the precepts of God. So I'm not going to get really into this here, but the word of God performs many wonderful ministries in a devoted believer. There's a verse that we can find in that. There's like 3 or 4 verses for that of giving us joy, of guiding us. The other week I had this list that I printed out, and that's what really started me going on this. But throughout the Psalms, keeping us focused, keeping us pure, keeping us on track, guarding us against sin, cultivating a longing for God, teaches us faithfulness, helps us endure, confirms the promises of God, reveals the love of God to us. It gives us hope. It provides us comfort. It helps us remember what? Remember God. And I could go on and on. It's a 2-column thing here of just things that we all need in our life day in and day out, don't you think? Anybody here need a light for your path? It's in there. Giving us joy in our hearts. Anybody need joy? It's in there. And so what's wonderful about this psalm is that there's so much captured in that that we could just meditate on that and dig out of that, those nuggets of things, and find such a wonderful help in our lives. If we delight in his word, we learn it, we treasure it, and then we begin to obey what it says, the Lord will then work in us and through us to accomplish it for whose glory? His glory. God wants to perform the works of his word in you. You're the vessel. You're the clay. But he's wanting to use you to bring honor and glory to him, just like that of what Jesus says, I don't say or do anything but what I see or hear the Father tell me to do, so that I can bring all honor, all glory to God. So as we study in Psalms 119, this writer has a variety of experiences. Anybody here got a variety of experiences in your life? Maybe we ought to have everybody list like three things in your life of experiences, and let's compare them and leave your names off of them, okay? And see like, hey, I experienced something similar to that, or I had this or that, I never experienced that. Ooh, boy, brother or sister, I'm glad it happened to you and not me, you know, type of a thing. But the devotion to the Lord and His Word will not change. Our circumstances do change, don't they? Circumstances change. God's Word does not change. Just running through some things in, this is all in Psalms 119. But in verse 9, we live where impurity is all around us. Isn't that something? Have you found that out already? It's not hard to find temptation. It's not hard for that temptation to even overtake us sometimes. The psalmist here is asked a question that troubles all of us. How can we stay pure while living in this environment? How do we stay pure? How do we stay connected to God living in this society, in this world, with all the stuff that's going on? Well, guess what? The first thing to that is you can't on your own. Because when you try to do it on your own, what happens? You get sucked right into it. You get right into the mainstream of whatever the gunk is. If you think, I'm strong enough, I'm man enough, I got the tenacity, I can stand my ground, I'm strong, nobody, I got intestinal fortitude. Eventually, you'll get sucked into a lot of, if not all, of the stuff that's going on in our world if you think I can do it on my own. Many times in our beginning walk with Christ, it's like, I knew that. Anybody here thought, well, I don't need Christ, I can handle it myself. I'm a man, I'm a boy, growing up to be a man, I can handle and take care of these things. But then we realize, you know what? A lot of, if not all of life, is really outside our hands of able to, our ability to do things. Now, there are things that we are able to do. I'm not saying that. But when you get right down to the overall effects of life and how we have to live out and go through this life, if we don't have ourselves anchored to that of an anchor like that, my anchor holds. You know, there's a song out there about that. If we don't have a lighthouse to help us in our life, or helping us get through, you know, the jetta that's full of rocks, we're going to have a rough bottom on our boat. Whatever the case might be, we know we can handle and do these things, but I'm going to tell you, we truly do need that of God. We can't do it on our own. We need something that is much stronger, something that is more dynamic. We find the strength and the help by doing what? Hopefully by that of reading God's Word. It's what it's there for. And not just read it, but do what? Apply it. It's one thing to read God's Word. It's one thing to say, well, this is what God's Word says about this. This is what God's Word says about that. Oh, yeah, it does say that. But here again, it does no good if you don't have an application process to put that word of God into your life and to have it be fulfilling in your life to accomplish what that word is to accomplish for you. In Psalms 119:9, it says this. Remember, we're looking at this. The psalmist is asking this question that troubles me. I'm sure it troubles you. How do I stay pure, if that's what I want to say it, while living in this environment? And he says this, how can a young man cleanse his way? Verse 9, how can Tim cleanse his way? Put your name in there instead of a man. How can? And I'm going to keep that young in there. How can young Tim? How can old Tim do it, you know? It says by what? Taking heed according to your word, according to God's word. How do you stay clean? How do you stay out of the muck and the mire of this world? You stay in God's word. You take heed to God's word. How it protects you, how it gets you away from danger, how it causes you to think about what you're about to say. I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit is in me. I am so thankful that the Spirit has told me many times, Tim, shut up. Anybody been told to shut up by that of the Spirit? I hope so, because if you've not been, then you're overpowering the Spirit. Because I think I'm just like a man, just like you, women, man, this is all the same thing. When I say man, human race, we always have things that we want to say, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and then it's like the Spirit says, don't say it, because it ain't going to go good from here. And I, for the most part, in my spirit, learned early on that if I get a check, like, don't say it, don't do it, I'll shut up. But so many times we overrule God's protections and safety valves in us. That's what the Spirit is in there for, to help you. And to also say the things that you should say. You might want to say it this way, but nah, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a good way to come out. They're not going to receive it. Oh, no, okay, I just won't. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit might give you some way to say it that is for that person for that time, and it'll fulfill what God's Word wants it to fulfill. What about this? The psalmist said that he's a foreigner. Anybody feel like a foreigner in America? On this earth, and we need guidance. We realize that any time that we plan to go on a trip, back in the day, we used to pull out the Rand McNally. Nowadays, you probably ask some kids, hey, do you know who Rand McNally is? And they'd probably say, no. But those atlases were wonderful. But it would help us find our way to a journey that we're going to someplace that we don't know how to get there specifically, streets or how long or what turnoff or whatever the case is. So we realize that any time that we plan to go on a trip, and we've not been that way before, you need a help. You need a map. You need a GPS nowadays is what we would call it. And so as we look at our journey that's going through life, it requires us to find our way. But how do we find our way if we just remain within ourselves and try to, who here wants to listen to that of the God of this world to give you the directions on how to go through this world? Nana. Nobody wants to listen to the God of this world because he's going to lead you down a dead-end street. He's going to take you to, I think sometimes, maybe to one of these roundabouts. Anybody been on a roundabout and you couldn't get off of the thing? It's like, which way do I go? Which way do I go? But, you know, if we don't have the directions in our lives by that of using God's Bible, the basic instructions before leaving earth, I had one time made a play off of the words of GPS. I had a message like, yeah, the world has GPS. I've got GPS, but mine is God's perfect solution. Amen. But we need something to help us navigate through this life, just like if we were going on that on a trip. God's Word is that navigator. His Word will point out the routes that are safe. He will alert us to those obstacles that we should not get around. We are just pilgrims sojourning through this life. Aliens, temporarily going through here. Ambassadors in a foreign land. We need to study God's Word, for if we don't know it, we will wander. We will wander here and there, aimlessly through life. And that would cost us possibly the destiny that God has for us. In Psalms verse 19, this writer of Psalms says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Remember, we could say those commandments, your law, your precepts, your statute, your judgments, your word, your promise. But he's saying this, the writer that wrote this, do not hide your commandments from me. And you know what? Do you really think God has hidden his directions for you in your life? Do you think God is like, uh-oh, I'm going to sneak up, I'm going to trick you guys. I got a wonderful plan for your life. You know what? But I've hidden it and you're not going to be able to find it. It's going to be like a scavenger hunt. I believe in my life and my life's plan and destiny with him. It was always there. It's always been there. It was there at the foundation when the Bible was written. And I found it at that time through that of the Spirit leading me through his word, which is relevant for today in my life situations. It's relevant for your life situations. That I could take that scripture and that rather than just read it and say, that's a good verse, it's a wonderful verse, that verse or two or three became enlightened and came to life in my spirit, because that's how God speaks to us. If it's not by the Holy Spirit just dropping something into you by that of the Spirit, you can sense it, right? I've had God speaking to me without having the Bible open. But as I'm reading his word and I'm going through it and I'm going through a life situation or this is coming up or I've got questions or whatever the case might be, Maybe I don't have anything yet, but I've had it as well. Enlighten me for something that's about to happen that I don't know. Because as I'm reading his scriptures, all of a sudden, what just was basic verse after verse was good. All of a sudden, I read it, and it became something that just went into this body, into my heart, into my mind, into my spirit, into whatever. And it says, ah, God, that is powerful. That is awesome. And somewhere in the near future, thank God that I had that rhema word to handle a situation that I remember, as I told you earlier, you don't know what your tomorrow holds, but he does. And he'll do all he can to prepare you for your tomorrows if you will what? Obey him, honor him, read his word, meditate in his word, get in his word, and use it for what it's there for, is to help you navigate through this life. Now, we've got to move on here. Now, here's another one. In our lives, we have many rule books. Oh, boy. But generally, the authors or whoever put these books together, a lot of times they give you the rules, but sometimes they don't give you how to get past those rules, or they don't give you what it takes to accomplish what you need to accomplish. They just give you this bit of information, and they say, figure it out on your own. God does not do that for each of us. Not only will he give us the rules and his guidelines, he will come to us personally every day to do what? To bring us strength. I think to bring us comfort. To bring us hope. To keep us in the game. But he will come to us personally to help us live accordingly to his rules. He wants us to follow this. He wants us to follow his word. And when you can't follow it on your own, you admit it, and you go to him, and you say, Lord, I need help to follow your word. This in my life has a pull. That in my life is taking this. This in my life is doing that. And it's all not good, Lord. And I'm trying to get through it, and I'm trying to battle it, but I understand, way as if we get back in the first few things we talked about, that I cannot do it under my own strength, that I need something stronger, and that something stronger is you in my life through that of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to honor and glorify you, and to do that, help me, give me strength to get past this obstacle, to get past this in my life, to go whatever it is, so that I can continue on that journey with you. But he will come to us personally each day to strengthen us and to help us to live accordingly to his rules. Believe it or not, God's got rules. Amen? Now, in a home life, and you tell your kids, hey, we got rules, what do the kids do? They thumb their nose at it. Oh, mom, dad, those rules are so antiquated. You gotta live in today's life. Mom and dad, those rules are, they don't fit today's lifestyle. No, the problem is, today's lifestyles do not fit these rules, that if you'd follow these rules, we wouldn't be in this day's lifestyle that we're battling against. The muck and the mire and the degradation of, you know, moralities and things. And so we know that when our natural nature is as kids, and we grow up and say, okay, I've got the rules. You go, oh, great. Mom and dad, they got the rules. They're authoritarian. Guess what? Your God, my God, our God, he has rules. And thus, they are authoritarian. They are to say, this is what you need to do to receive this. This is what you need to do to keep me on your side, really. And we can go through life and do a lot of things dumb, like that of the children of Israel and different ones throughout the scriptures that we've read. And God did performing wonderful, miraculous things in their lives. And then they went into other idol situations. They put him aside. They did other whatever. And pretty soon he felt like, oh, okay. You get what you get then. I leave you to your own demise, since that's where you want to go. And we today in our society, me individually, I'm probably looking at some out here today, we're probably not too far off of the children of Israel, to where God did wonderful things in our life when we asked him, and we received them, life was going good, And somehow we departed from the things of God. And rather than following him every day, we began to follow him every other week, once a month. We slowly left that blessing. We slowly left our God because the cares of this world began to come in upon us. And I believe God will address that situation with us like he did that of the children of Israel or whoever. It's like, I'll leave you to your own demise. I have something much better for you, but if that's where you're at, that's where you want to stay, that's where you want to listen, that's what you want to do, you're on your own. I think it's called free will, free choice, because we are still able to make decisions and choices. Even as a staunch follower of Christ, we still have the ability to do what? Make choices. Sometimes we look at that, choose and stay who you will serve, thinks like, well, that's just that square one. That's like that Sorry game or whatever game I used to play, Chutes and Ladders or whatever. It's like, that's just square one. I've chosen him. I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now I'm halfway into the game. But even though I'm halfway into the game of life, guess what? Choose this day who you will serve. I don't care if you're a 50-year card-holding, you know, kingdom-driven child of God. You're going to choose every day who you're going to serve. And the 1 minute that we think like, well, it ain't going to happen to me, step out of the way. Because the enemy just heard that, and there will be a snare up ahead. And he will probably get you in that snare with the same bait, the same thing, whatever was in your life 35 years ago. Because he knew that 35 years ago, before you came to Christ, alcohol was your problem. Drugs was your problem. Pornography was your problem. Womanizing was your problem. Whatever the case is. Now we're 35 years later, going strong for God. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing will take me back to what I was. Nothing will take me back to what I came from. And I will say, by that of the grace of God, nothing will take me back to where I've come from as long as I remain what? True to God, strong in God, listening to God, obeying God, doing what God's asked me to do. And when he says jump, I don't think and say, do I really need to jump this high or that high? It's like, how high, God? Whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to follow you to fullness of what you're saying. And if we don't live our life day in and day out until we call this life the past, and now we've gone on to glory, things of the past will always want to come up and rear its head somewhere down your path. Be aware of how that enemy works. But getting back to this, in Psalms, verse 27, 28. Make me understand the way of your precepts. See, here's this word precepts now. We went from word to commandments. Now it's a precept. Make me understand the way of your what? Precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. The Amplified would say this. So shall I focus my thoughts on your wonderful works. What are you focused on? What are you thinking on? As a man thinks, so is he. As we allow our mind to begin to wander in thoughts and things, it'll take us there, and sometimes it's not always the best. It continues on in verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Let's read 28 with a little bit of emphasis here. My soul melts, or my soul is literally drops from heaviness. What's this heaviness? Grief. Anybody ever been beaten down and weighted down so much with this that you're heavy and you're just down? You drop to your knees. You drop into the recliner. You drop flat on your face, whatever. It's just like, oh, Father. That chorus comes out there. It has to do a little bit with lift up the hands that hang down, that heaviness upon you. It's a wonderful chorus. It'll probably keep bouncing in my head a little bit until I try to bring the words into a line. But it's like we because of the heaviness, we can no longer lift our hands to praise. We've just been Many people carry that load, as I've talked about this week, and talking to some individuals and saying, we've got to cast that load over to God. He has told us to cast your care over to Him. Once you get that load off of your back, you will find that you're able to do this a whole lot easier. Anybody try to raise your hands like this when you got something on the back of your shoulders and you got to hold them to balance it or whatever the case is? You can't let go of the load and lift your hands, because if you let go of the load, it's going to fall off. Well, maybe sometimes it's good for the load to fall off. I don't know. But all I know is that when I go through life and I'm carrying that load, I've got to keep my hands on that load. And it does give me the freedom to go, lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up His name in praise. I might be making up words. If it is, put it to a tune. Because we got that victory. But anyway, it says, my soul melts, or it drops from heaviness. That heaviness is grief. Strengthen me according to your word. The Amplified, it puts this in there. Strengthen me according to the promises of your word. God is a God of promises. Plural. Multiple. Isn't that good to know? Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank. Okay, you got the promise. That's one and done. That's all there is. No, with God, there's promises. What you need is what He has. When you need it, He will get it to you if you trust and obey, for there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, but is to trust and obey. One last thing here. Another scripture in Psalms 119 we can look at. A person must decide in their mind between what? Good and evil. That's what this life is all about. The sad truth is that many people are undecided. They don't know which way to go. The evil looks pretty good for right now, and I would enjoy that much more now than trying to probably trust God that I really can't see, and I'm just believing He's there, or whatever the case might be, as we begin these walks and how we're going to work it as far as between good and evil. But the sad truth is that many people are undecided on which way to go. When it comes to obeying God and His word, guess what? You're either serving Him or you're not. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral zone out there that says, this is your side of the battle, and this is the enemy side, and this ground here, you know, that's a neutral ground. And there is no neutral ground. If you're not in the area and the territory that's truly yours, you're in the enemy's territory. So if I look at this, being that God, with God, there is no middle ground with Him. This concludes the service for the day. From what Doug told me. Doug, your prayers were answered. I don't know how. You're a powerful man of prayer to say, shut him down, God. It's like all of a sudden I'm talking, and it's like it just went, phew, there was nothing there. My goodness. I think it's important, God. Is it okay if I share for another 10 minutes? I think it is. I don't know. But there is no middle ground. We need to take a stand, and we need to take that stand for that of God. You need to make a choice. And see, I was really close, Doug, so I don't know why he shut me down so fast. In 113, it says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Psalms 119, 113. I hate the double-minded. Literally, when we read that, it's saying this. I hate being divided in the heart or mind. And that's where it comes into our battles and struggles with the things of God and what we're going through, is that there's a battle. There's that double-minded. There's a divide in our heart, and I hate that doubleness, and I'd rather be single-focused. But I love your law. And if we continually to look at His law, if we look at the things that I shared here, whether it's the law or whether we're looking at, I love your testimonies, God. I love your precepts. I love your statutes. I love your commandments. I love your judgments and your word and your promises. If I can keep those, I will not have a double-mindedness, because I'm going to be focused single-minded on that of my God and that of His word that is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, slicing us between the marrow and the bone and all of that, you know, the skin and the marrow of the flesh. It'll fine-tune it. But we got to stay with God. We need to stay in His Word. We need to meditate. We need to pray. And I think these are some of the things that I hope that God has for us maybe on Thursday. And like I say, I'm not teaching it. I don't know a whole lot of things to hand out. I just want to take whatever version of the Bible you've got. You bring it. We're going to read Psalm 119, 1 through 8. Hey, what is this telling you? What do you see in this? I've tried to go through in my Bible and mark some areas of as an example of like where your word, verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. It talks here, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Oh, that's another different one. It's not my heart. Well, that's another one we're going to look at too. 69 says this. It says here, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. I mean, I was just starting to go through this and digging out some of these things. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I want to look at those, and if I can kind of go through, and what I've got here kind of helped me kind of go through this a little bit, and I want to pull out my whole heart, or that one where I talked about there a little bit about keeping your word, things of that nature. I think it's going to be exciting. Woo! I hope you're excited. And you're going to learn. You're going to help me learn. You're going to help me as well. Lord, I thank you for encouragement. I thank you for your word. Oh, Father, I know for me in particular, I thank you for your patience with me. And maybe there's some others here today that have been benefactors of that as well. But I thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us where you found us, that you picked us up, you keep working with us. I pray that we keep working with you, that we look through that of your scriptures, that we put these scriptures to work in our lives, that we don't just memorize them and know where they're at, but that we actually put them actively in our daily walk. I love you. We love you. As we go forth, Lord, bless us this week. Let us be used by you in those that we come into contact with. Your word has the answers for us. You love us. You loved us before we first even loved you. But now, hallelujah, I can raise my hands and say, I love you. All of these things in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.